What's up? This is Boovies on Up, and it's October, our favorite month of the year. So sit back, join us month-long as we talk about a lot of horror movies.
What's up? This is Boovies on Up, and welcome to our top 10 in our countdown of the 50 greatest horror movies of all time. We have finally made it to number 10 in our top 10. And to help me get through our last 10 movies is the Kate to my Billy, Mr. Dave Bacella.
The Baba to your Duck.
That as well. That one's in the top 10. Probably going to talk about it this week. That's Mr. Dave. I'm Ryan. We are Movies on Up, and this is our top 10 horror movies of all time. A couple that are going to be probably very obvious to you. We're going to hit one of the ones that may not have been as obvious. Dave just told you what it is. But I think our number 10 might be the one that may surprise people that maybe they're not super horror fans.
I think people that have listened to us talk over 5 years,
yeah,
it'll especially listen in October, know how high we hold this movie. We've done an episode on it.
We sure have.
I think we've done an episode on quite a few of these top 10.
Yeah, we might have done episodes on all of them at this point.
At least half. I think the average horror fan, this might be something they've never heard of or never seen, or heard in passing but never seen.
So I think the fact that we put Scott Glosserman's Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon from 2006 at our number 10, sandwiched in between some of the movies that it is. You know, if you haven't seen it, I'm hoping that you do give it a try. It stars Nathan Basil, Angela Goethals, and Scott Wilson, and Tony Todd, Robert Englund. There's a lot of horror cameos in this movie. Scream basically laid out the rules that by that point in 96, we had all sort of learned anyway from the slasher movies in the 80s. But seeing those rules being put to a quote-unquote real-life scenario from the perspective of an aspiring serial killer, I think was a really fun experience. And this is another one that goes from being a horror comedy to a
straight-up slasher movie.
Straight-up slasher. By the end of it, on the turn of a dime, and I think it's a wonderful
example. It goes
from,
like, found footage into slasher movie as well.
Yeah.
I've talked about Paranormal Activity and Blair Witch being, like, some of my favorite movie-going experiences. So is this, but for a completely different reason. Like, those were packed theaters with a cool thing. Jason West and I, when we lived together, we saw this trailer probably 2 years before we saw the movie. It was just, we stumbled across it on the internet and thought it looked like the most amazing thing. And then finally it was probably 2 years or a year and a half. It was a long time. It was finally playing in Cleveland where we had to drive an hour to see it, where it was me and him and one other dude. So, I mean, we went from packed theater to three. It was that anticipation of wanting to see it for so long, and here we are. But it didn't episode one us. Like, it was worth the wait because it was better than I expected. Like, I expected, like, oh, it's going to be a good horror comedy. No, it's a good horror movie. It's a good comedy. It's a good movie. The characters are great. Nathan Basil is so good in it. And it has everything. If you're looking for a great horror movie, it's got everything checked
off. It checks all the boxes.
Great final girl. Iconic potential character. Like,
yeah.
Leslie Vernon has this unique look. The mask is creepy as hell. Has the imagery, the deaths. It's really, really, really good. And it's one of those I talk about where Adam Green got stuck in the Hatchet world, and I'd like to see something else. Mm-hmm. Glosserman hasn't done a lot. I want to see him stuck here because I would love to see another Leslie Vernon movie. Compare it more to Dougherty with Trick or Treat. Like, I really want to see more Leslie Vernon because this, whereas Friday the 13th launched a franchise for a character who was barely in it, like, this sets up perfectly, builds a potential franchise for this great character that's established.
Because Leslie Vernon is the star of the movie.
Absolutely. And you can let him loose in any sequel or anything, and that's what I want. But it's so good. And this isn't one of those, like, oh, we watch movies. Here's one you probably haven't seen in our top 10. Like, this is legit.
We're not doing it just to have an out-of-the-box selection.
This is 15 spots higher than The Exorcist, give or take. Like, and I don't give a fuck because it deserves it. I love this movie, and if you have not seen it, watch it and love it.
Suck it, Exorcist. Our number nine is, was it your number two?
No, it had to be my number two. Yeah. It's probably my it's in my top five overall.
Yeah, this is another one of those, you know, we talked about Shaun of the Dead being a top all-time movie for Dave. It's not going to surprise you that the number nine is 1984's Gremlins, directed by Joe Dante, starring Zach Galligan, Phoebe Cates, and Hoyt Axton. Honestly, if you haven't seen Gremlins in a while, it is a much darker movie than you remember. The Gremlins, yeah, while there is some clowning around in the bar, they actually...
They're scariest.
Yeah, they do present a threat to this. They kill people.
The scene with the mom, when you first really meet the Gremlins, like you haven't really fully met the Gremlins yet. The mom in the downstairs with the basement and the knife. That is a legit scary horror scene with the Christmas tree. Like, they're terrifying. Like, they are scary, scary monsters.
They're not just maybe the ugly little clowns that you think you remember. I mean, they are great monsters. In trying to put together this list, I ran across a list of the greatest horror comedies of all time. And they actually had American Werewolf in London at the number one spot, which I like. But I thought to myself that I think Gremlins is, it's much funnier on a couple different levels. I think it's funnier, like slapsticky funny, but it's also darkly hilarious too.
I think of horror comedies, Shaun of the Dead does horror great, does comedy well, but here doesn't really blend them. When it does horror, it does horror really, really well. When it does comedy, like the bar scene or the Christmas caroling, it does comedy really, really well. And this kind of transitions into another bonus. Because as I was talking to Zane, putting my list together, I mentioned that Gremlins was very high up. And he mentioned, can you count that? Like, is that a horror movie? And I think if you haven't seen it in a while, you do forget how good of a horror movie it is. And that kind of led to a discussion to where I kind of wanted to bring it up here. Our favorite, are they horror movies? Because his argument was, if you have Gremlins there, wouldn't you have to have Ghostbusters? Because, you know, Gremlins is a horror comedy, I guess. Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters, I think of it more as a comedy, but isn't it?
I do as well.
Isn't it a horror comedy? It's ghosts. I could see the argument. I don't agree with it, but I can understand it. So I was just thinking, because I was like, okay, I'll play by ear. If Ryan has Ghostbusters, I'll put it high because it deserves to be.
Yeah.
If not, then it's not. Like, if it were counted, it would be probably in the top 10.
Absolutely.
For us. But I don't think either of us count it as horror movies. And then there were a couple on both of our lists that I feel like fit. Like, you had The Guest. It was low. I love The Guest. Is it a horror movie? The last 15 minutes feel like
you
it.
Know.
I guess technically it is. It feels like an 80s slasher.
Yes.
But it's more Ghostbusters, The Guest, perfect transition. Gremlins 2, that one is the one that is a comedy.
Yes.
And that one doesn't have the horror elements that Gremlins does. It's a completely different movie. I did originally have it in my top 10, but I took it out to kind of throw on this list. Green Room you had, that's another one of those that, like, it has all the horror elements. Like, yeah, it does absolutely have the horror elements, but I guess I just don't see it as a horror movie. Like, I think you can argue both ways. Silence of the Lambs, Beetlejuice, like that's another one. And then What We Do in Shadows, which I think that one does rely more on the comedy. So maybe that doesn't fit. But like Beetlejuice does try to have some scares.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I try to imagine like an old Blockbuster store and like
where would it categorize?
Right, where would I find these movies? If I was looking for Beetlejuice, I feel like I'd find that in comedies.
Yeah, same with Ghostbusters.
Yes. If I was looking for Silence of the Lambs, maybe it's in the horror section.
Yeah,
maybe it's
thriller?
In like the thriller section.
Is thriller separate? Like in that? The Guest. Is that an action movie? Is that in horror? Is it in thriller?
Like, yeah, some of these do kind of blur the lines, and it was hard to choose. One of my favorite movies of all time is a John Carpenter movie. They Live.
Yeah,
that to me was more of a science fiction movie. So.
And that's where I had trouble with Attack the Block.
Yeah.
I was glad I had it very high on mine, but I was going to cut it if it didn't make your list. Because sci-fi, is there a line there? Like,
but what's the line?
Yeah.
Because Aliens is sci-fi, it's action, but you're going to find that in the horror section.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because it's a sequel of a movie that is 100% a horror movie? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But on the surface, if it's got Freddy, if it's got Jason, it's a horror movie. And if Silence of the Lambs is a horror movie, is Seven a horror movie?
Exactly.
Where do you draw the line?
Is Copycat with Sigourney Weaver and Harry Connick Jr. a horror movie? I don't know.
We drew the line on the other side of Copycat. But when it comes to horror movies, I don't think that we would get an argument with someone when we say that our number eight, which was my number one, and it is the movie that I always think of when I think of horror movies. It is a perfect horror movie, so that should tell you something about the seven movies that are above it. It is from 1978, directed by the aforementioned John Carpenter. It's Halloween, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, Donald Pleasence, and PJ Souls. You know, this movie does nothing fancy, but it's completely flawless.
It's straightforward.
Yeah.
It doesn't try to be flashy. Doesn't try to be fancy.
Nope.
Straightforward.
There's, even the deaths aren't as gory in the moment. It's more like discovered, oh, shit, that girl's stuffed into a closet. But yet, I think it's the blueprint from which so many scary movies in the 80s were made, for better or worse. I mean, yeah, even Friday the 13th, they would certainly become very much a Halloween clone. Any knife-wielding slasher movie from the 80s, I mean, you know, if Halloween's not the phenomenon that it is, those movies don't turn out, that genre doesn't take off. It's not a viable movie option for, you know, 40 freaking years. But I mean, Halloween's perfect from the acting, the use of shadows, again, how you see just a flash of Michael Myers. The score is wonderful. John Carpenter's a badass when it comes to making horror movies. He'll probably be on our list again.
I think it's the embodiment of what you picture a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's been modernized now. Like, you couldn't get away with releasing Halloween wide now. It wouldn't have the impact. It's got to be flashier and fancier. It's the most stripped down, bare bones version of what a slasher movie has become. And that's it in its infancy.
For our number seven, we have our second, but not our last, George Romero movie. It is 1982's Creepshow, starring, amongst others, Leslie Nielsen, Stephen King, Adrian Barbeau. We love anthology movies here, and teaming Romero up with Stephen King was bound to produce something special, and there were several really, really special stories here.
It's so good. I mean, it's hard to even pick a favorite one. Like, they're all really, really good.
Absolutely.
And the thing is that it, not only is it good, but Creepshow 2 and I believe 3 are all really, really good.
I like 3, yeah.
Like, I mix them up. Like, I don't remember. Is the Raft one?
2.
Okay, yeah. Like, yeah, that one jumps out
I
to me.
I just had this conversation with somebody.
Like, it's just Creepshow. The first one is the best. I remember that. But they're all three so good that they kind of blur together. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Creepshow is our number 7. This is like one of the rare times where it's like, oh, the franchise fits in there. Because yeah, Creepshow is far and away the best. But all of them are really good. Didn't they remake one or try to a few years ago?
I think 3 just came out not too terribly long ago, within a past
year. Okay, then
years.
I'm thinking Creepshow 2 is the main one. But Creepshow transitions us into our... There were a lot of my movies that I only had that didn't make our top 50. Same with Ryan, which we'll address next week. So this one, before we get into our 6th leading into our top 5, we just want to take a break. Ryan, do your favorite picks of mine that didn't make the list, that you didn't originally have.
Yeah. The Final Girls, we talked about that from a couple years ago. It's good. It's another sort of meta one with some... a couple really solid Final Girls.
And I really, really love, I love that. It was so hard for me not to put that in because I don't feel like enough people saw it.
Yeah.
I feel like there was enough there that it could have gotten a mainstream release. But
I think it's fair to say that most of your movies that are on this list, probably not a lot of people saw. The Horde is another one. We've already kind of briefly mentioned that.
I love that movie.
But that's great as well.
You mix a zombie movie and a crime movie, yeah, and you have one of the best badass like zombie scenes ever.
Oh, so many zombies. So many zombies getting killed. Wolf Creek is a movie that Dave brings up an awful lot.
I like the Aussies.
Yeah, he does. The Australian slasher flicks. House of the Devil.
I was shocked it didn't make your list.
It might have at one point. And I mean, I had movies that ended up getting bumped off because I...
90.
Exactly. Yeah, that's... I mean, I kind of went overkill. But, you know, they were movies that were listed that got bumped just because I would... Oh, wait a minute. I don't have this movie on my list somewhere. That's an error. It's got to be on there. And I think House of the Devil did, and it got bumped. And then one that probably had the same thing happen to it was Teeth. We liked that a lot. I think we did an episode on Teeth when it
Follows came out, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And certainly I didn't have quite as many to pick from because David only had like 40 listed.
40,
yeah. But those were all, I mean, I would not be embarrassed to have any of those on my top 50.
I think of those, The Horde was probably the hardest to leave off, just because I hold that movie in such a high regard. It was probably my highest of those, although The Final Girls was pretty high.
So that leaves us with just one movie for this episode. It is our number 6, and it's a movie that Dave's already mentioned. It's Jennifer Kent's The Babadook from 2014, starring Essie Davis and Noah Wyman. Perhaps the least straightforward of any movie on this list. You know, Halloween is about a knife-wielding killer that has come back to Haddonfield to try and kill his baby sister. That's it. He's killing other people, and you know Michael Myers is the bad guy. He's it. But in The Babadook, emotion is the monster here.
Loss?
Yeah.
Like, dealing with loss? Like,
but emotion, you do get a very emotional performance from Essie Davis. She's fantastic in this movie.
Robbed of how you watch this movie and convince yourself that there were 5 better actress performances in that given year, I have no idea.
She was great. The Babadook was one of those ones that I think I had very little expectations going into it. But after I watched it, it was one of my favorite movies to tell people to check out. And I usually tell people to watch it twice.
It's so good. And I think you do appreciate it more that second time.
Yeah, because you can get into more of, all right, what the hell am I watching?
It's such a powerful, emotional movie, and that's it. Your emotions are the monster, essentially. Like, it's a feeler. Like, it makes you feel things. And it's so, so good. And it's another one. I feel like people see Sam and they recognize it as something. I feel like The Babadook is hitting that level, too.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like people are familiar with The Babadook.
Oh, that's that gay and lesbian movie.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Like, it's...
Thanks, Netflix.
Like, I feel like The Babadook, people are familiar with what The Babadook is, but maybe haven't seen this movie, and they're really missing out.
And The Babadook just missed out on our top 5. That's kind of the rarefied air that we put that in. Our top 5 includes another George Romero movie, and I would say maybe the other 4 are movies, if all 5 aren't movies, that are all time for both Dave and I. One we've probably talked about enough to make you want to throw up, and the other 4 are all.
2 have been pretty teased. 3 have been pretty teased pretty well.
Yes.
And the one we have avoided mentioning at all, but if you've ever listened to his talk, you know what's number 1.
So to find out officially, what are the 5 greatest horror movies of all time? Our top 5 in our 50, the top 10%. Stay tuned, because that'll be coming at you here shortly. But until then,
keep it up.